Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Rogue Rebels Podcast. I am Sal, I am your host, and today we are going to talk comic books, and I have a very special guest with me. You may address him as the King of All Toms.
Hi there, Sal. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure, my liege.
You're too kind. It's always great being here, and you know, sometimes books, sometimes comics, whatever it is, we have fun.
That's the big takeaway. Fun, yeah. King, royalty, lots of, you know, sometimes pictures, sometimes words.
Sometimes
depends
and,
on what it
is. You know, with comics, it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, there you go. See, I like different media has different strengths. I feel like I say this every 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. So the comics we're talking about, we're going to talk about the Crimson Reign series, which is like a little mini series that kind of wrapped up a little while ago, while Andor was going on. So I didn't, I guess it was before, but there's a lot of stuff happening right now. So I didn't quite get to it till now. But I'm also going to dive into the, a little bit of, cause all the series, like, so Crimson Reign is the mini series that takes place between Empire and Return of the Jedi. After War of the Bounty Hunters, where Kira has reestablished Crimson Dawn and is now starting to make her little moves. Question mark. What she's doing. She's doing things. And all the, like, the ongoing series, like Star Wars, Darth Vader, Bounty Hunters, and Aphra are in that same timeline. And, like, her actions and Crimson Dawn are, like, affecting all of that kind of stuff. So we'll dive into a little bit of those things as well.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a big comic episode, but you're going to learn a lot about Kira, and you guys like Kira. Come on, where's my Make Solo Happen to peeps or whatever? Hashtag buff Kira.
Everyone loves Kira.
Kira's awesome, and like there's the very first issue, like she's flexing with her little weapons, and she's like, I just kind of fought Darth Vader, and I'm fine. By the way, that happened like in War of the Bounty Hunters, but it was good times. Real quick, where can the people find you, King Tom?
You can find me on at Tom Chansky on Twitter and Hive, if that's still a thing. I kind of wish it was.
Please,
because you know I like it. And then I do, you know, I'm on the Sith List every week, and then I do Patreon shows. We have a Sith List Patreon. I also do Patreons for Blue Harvest, Steel Wars, and the Band Motivators.
Yep. You can check us out at theroguerebels.com. We got a Facebook page. We're on Instagram, TikTok, and Hive as well, at The Rogue Rebels. And Twitter is the only one where I couldn't find that name, and that's why we are Rogue Rebels fam. We're on Spotify, and also I have a lot of cool playlists over there that organize this. So if you want to hear more comic series, check out our Star Wars comics playlist, and it'll like sort out all those episodes for you. And you could listen to us talk about things like, oh, I don't know, the rise of Kylo Ren and War of the Bounty Hunters and the High Republic Adventures or whatever your little heart may desire illustrated.
Some really good recaps.
Yeah, and good times as well. I don't have any news, so you're welcome. Let's see. Yeah, this is like I have like my little notes template. So some of these things, like, we're just gonna get right into spoilers. I don't think we need spoiler. I mean, do you have any spoiler free impressions?
It's a good, you know, it's a good series that moves it from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking for, you know, because everything we see in Star Wars you know, early days, is the view of the Rebellion slash Jedi or Empire slash Sith. And they've been getting more out of that since the Disney purchase, showing other points of view. And this does a really good job of showing some of those other points of view or the people on the fringe.
Yeah,
and I think that's why it's an entertaining, good series.
And not for nothing, like Kira, this does a lot for Kira. The character of Kira is like super cool and interesting. A little bit, what's the word here? Like, we're watching her make all these big moves. We don't quite have her end game yet. Like, we seem to have her goal, but like not quite her motive. I mean, maybe some of her motivations, but like, you know what I mean? Like, she's still a little bit mysterious. But a lot of like the big things are there. So I'm really liking the Kira stuff that we're getting, like since War of the Bounty Hunters and all that.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, like we were talking about Star Wars series. So like, you know, Luke Skywalker, all that stuff between Empire and Jedi, there's a lot of really interesting things there that are happening. While Han is iced up. But yeah, and like a couple of meetings between Leia and Kira.
Yeah, I don't remember if those happen during Crimson Reign or before, but those are always very interesting, just because you know of the characters.
So the first time happens at the end of War of the Bounty Hunters,
right?
And then there's one here as well, you know. And young Holdo, yay! All right,
yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah,
he's always fun.
Good times. Really good characters. A lot of like, in fact, like maybe too many characters. Not too many characters, but like. Almost everybody is involved. Like, if War of the Bounty Hunters was huge, they took all that, and then they're like, and also the Knights of Ren.
Yeah.
And Holdo. And, like, Shara Bey is back. And, like, everybody you ever knew from a comic one time that Charles Sewell wrote is probably in this.
Pretty much. Chinoth Chan, the Orphans.
Yeah.
And I kind of have a little It's an unfinished conspiracy theory about this.
Ooh, I like it.
Series.
Okay. I think I put that at the end. All right.
I put it at
oh,
the end.
Oh, you did. Yeah. I read it at the end and thought I was smart. This happens a lot. All right. Here we go. Let's get into spoilers. We're going to start with the main series of Crimson Reign. There's 5 issues, and it actually doesn't, I don't want to say not a lot happens into it, but it sort of is, each issue focuses on a different character, kind of. Like their little piece of whatever Kira, you know, whatever part of Kira's puzzle that she's given them. So the whole first issue is she's got like everybody lined up on the ship. It's like Chan of the Chan and the Orphans, the Knights of Ren, the Archivist, Deathstick, Ochi of Bestoon, you know, a couple of the guys from Willow. I don't know. Thanos is there. There's everybody, and she's sort of making this speech about like power in the galaxy and why is it that blah blah blah. And so her like philosophy about it is that like secretly the Sith rule the galaxy. Like, I know that, and now you all know that. So under the Sith, like the power, it's like a pyramid. Like, they are the only ones with the power, and everybody else like suffers and serves. Like, the galaxy is big enough for everybody. It should look like peaks and valleys, and it should look like a waveform, not a pyramid. So we can all, if we take the Sith down, we can each make the galaxy our own and have our own things and blah blah blah. And everybody's like, yeah, hear, hear, good call.
So I'm gonna have questions about the Knights of Ren and comments about them. You know, like you said, she's breaking the news to this assembled group of people that the Sith are in charge of the galaxy. Do you think the Knights of Ren knew this?
There's like a, the issue, like, you know, issue 4 is like the issue that focuses on them. And it sort of goes back to when she meets them, or what we assume is them meeting. And they basically say like, hey, like, you know, we survive by staying off the radar, so don't go bringing all this attention on us. So it feels like they know, like, what I took that is, like, they steer clear of Inquisitors and, you know, anybody hunting Force users.
Right, okay.
even though they're somehow a weird lightsaber-wielding motorcycle gang that I feel like would draw a lot of attention anywhere except Santa Clara or wherever the Lost Boys takes place. Yeah. That's how I took it. Okay. I feel like they know it's the Sith and the Inquisitor, like, but they don't know. Maybe they don't know that, no, I don't know. Like,
they don't know the specifics.
Yeah, I feel like they know enough to steer clear of things.
Right.
Maybe they're not like, oh, it's Palpatine? Really? That dude is the head of Empire? Yeah. That movie holds up. Yeah. So yeah, like, as far as they go. But, like, out of everybody on Kira's little team, like, they're the only Force-sensitive people at all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right. The archive is kind of, but not, like, she's like Chirrut, where she can sense it, but not use it, maybe.
Okay. Like, sensitive, or not direct. But not, yeah. I thought she was just more into, like, the Ascendant tech.
I thought in her article said she, or her issue, she said that she can sense something if something has the Force.
Huh.
I could be wrong.
Maybe I missed that. Maybe I missed that. Okay, let's skip to issue 2. And this is like Ochi and Deathstick, and they both have missions. Ochi's mission is assassinate a bunch of Imperial guards and make everybody scared. And he does it, which is pretty rad. It's like he gets like this sort of delayed poison and puts it in their food. And then like they all die in front of the Empire. And then it's
as
like
Palpatine is walking in.
Yeah. And it's like perfectly timed to be like, oh, this was just a show of power to like make sure, like let me know that I'm vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And he constantly talks about how he's a master assassin. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he's just really good at chemistry.
Yeah. And he knows who has the very strong chemical.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. He does like the whole, yeah, he shops. He does. He's like a one-stop shop. He goes, he gets everything from A to Z.
He has the same type of little flying assassin droid that Zam had.
Oh yeah.
In Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, totally. That was cool. And Deathstick's mission is to like get reclaim the heir, which is Cadelia, the little girl, who, if you have kept up at all with the Bounty Hunters comics, there are like these two warring syndicates on Corellia, the Mourner's Wail and the Unbroken Clan. And a while back, like, the heirs of these two were going to get married, and like the girl got pregnant and had a baby, but they were all killed. But one of the bounty hunters like saved a bit. This is like a whole huge storyline that's like part of Valance's origin story and why Boba Fett doesn't like to work with people.
Mm-hmm.
But that heir like survived like to this day, being raised by one of those bounty hunters who has since passed.
Right.
So, and then like Valance sort of rescued her and then took her to some rebels and was like, don't even tell me, like, where you guys go. It's safer if I don't know. Bye. And then left her there so that she could be, like, protected. And then, you know, Deathstick kind of goes in there and kills everybody and takes the child.
Calls the Empire in.
Yeah, calls the Empire. Like, the Empire comes and, like, kills everybody. But while that's happening, she goes in and reclaims the heir and brings the girl, Cadelia, to Kira. And they're like, oh, cool, we have so much to talk about. And this is also, like, Kira's cool little, I really liked her little, like, philosophy. You know, they're like, how do you know that they're going to, like, blah, 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 and not betray you or whatever? And she's like, well, you know, they're killers. Simple, you know, simple, they're killers. Mm-hmm. And killers have, like, three philosophies, you know.
Yeah.
Joy, fear, or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. And she like, likens them into the Jedi, the Sith, and the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah. Faith, that's what it is.
Faith, yeah.
Faith, joy, or fear, you know. Like, the Jedi, like, they believe that, like, because of their faith, they believe that this and this and this and this, that's why they kill. You know, fear, you know, that's, like, why the Sith, because they're, like, trying to, like, accumulate power and this and this and that. That's what's up with Ochi.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, been to Exegol and seen craziness, and now, out of fear, he, like, allies himself with the best monsters. And then Joy is just people who like to kill.
Yeah.
And Deathstick is also, like, a surviving Night Sister.
Mm-hmm. Is this where we found that out?
I thought they said something about it, but now okay. I'm not so sure. I read a lot of comics. We're about to talk about a lot of them, and I'm going to get some stuff mixed
together.
Yeah. The next issue is about the Archivist and her little mission, and it's also about her like first meeting with the Archivist. And basically, the Archivist is a woman named Madeline Sun, who was like a Sava, who studied all these Force relics and, you know, I assume faiths and theologies and things like that. And so when the Empire took over, was immediately out of a job.
Yeah.
And then sort of survived as like a little antiquities kind of dealer, not doing as well as our friend Luthen. And then, you know, somebody calls the Empire on her and she gets attacked. And then, like, you know, Kira comes in and like kills the stormtroopers and is like, what if I could give you not just your job back, but your life back? You know of all these Sith things and this and this and that. What if I told you it's a Sith that took over the galaxy? And she's like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Like, how did I not see it? Which is exactly what Mace Windu and Yoda were like.
Yeah.
And so she basically is like, hey, help me find this like ascendant technology and allies. Help us like use these things so that we can fight the Sith, reclaim the galaxy. You can get your job back. But in the meantime, you can work for me and like be cool. Also, we're looking for allies. So I want you to find like what this one powerful ally we know is around, Yoda. She's like, what? Why do you think Yoda's around? And she's like, well, simple. The Empire would have announced their death, you know, because it's such a huge Master Jedi.
Which I thought was brilliant. And I don't think anyone had ever thought outside of Charles Sewell. I don't think anyone had ever thought that before, to put two and two together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. They were like, I like how they go back to that one issue. They're like, they even made a big show of burning up his lightsaber. Like, you know, I was like, he just dropped it. Like,
yeah. What's her name? Kira takes, you know, at this point, Madeline through her little gallery. Yeah. And they mention a specific shout out of the dancing goddesses or the dancing goddess statue, which I think was in Solo, but that's originally from the old original Marvel comic series.
Ooh, deep cut.
Yeah. And it was like, so this is before Return of the Jedi. Lando was on a mission for the rebellion, and he ended up with some crime boss that he had run afoul of before. And he's like, you know, I need your help. I'm with the rebellion. And the guy ended up helping him, and then Lando gave him this, like, here's an award from the Rebellion. It's, you know, a statue of valor or something. But it was, it was just some artifact that Lando had on his ship, and it was this dancing goddess. And then they go back a few years later in, like, real time. Uh-huh. Like, you know, first was, like, issue 70, then issue 90 or something. And it turns out that the statue is part of this, like, planet-wide computer system that it needed to be there. It was going to kill all the people on the planet. And so Lando had to go back, and he's like, that wasn't really a statue, but the guy is like Mr. Rebellion. He's like the Rebellion's number one fan now. So it had a pretty cool arc, and it was just something like
that's dope.
It was, it was a really nice shout out.
Actually, if you're keeping up on the Han Solo comics or Han Solo and Chewbacca, the little comics that are coming out right now, the scene connects to a scene in that thing where they're like up on the city, and they like they call the stormtroopers on her as a distraction while they go sneak to do something. So like, it's like Han's the one that called them, like ratted her out to the Empire in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like if you read those comics, you're like, that's whack.
Right.
So she ends up like, she sort of like goes through all these things and figures out, and it's like, well, the last place was like Kashyyyk. And she like does her, you know, follows her detective trail all the way until she gets to like a pilot or a crew member who was on Bale's ship, who she suspects, like, knows what's going on.
I think that's the one that takes Masamita's call.
Is it?
In the one played by, yeah, Jeremy Colton, the one played by Jeremy Bullock.
I didn't realize it was so specific, like, a specific person. It was just like, oh, he was, like, the pilot. And I was like, okay, cool, in my head. Like, not remembering the one that was like, hey, they're having an emergency Senate meeting.
Right, that one.
Yeah.
That
one. Okay, so she basically uses the ascendant tech of this, I forgot what it's called, thought dowser or whatever, to, like, force him to confess, basically. And bixes him. And, like... She's able to find her way to Dagobah. So she goes.
He gives her the sector and she guesses Dagobah.
There you go. That's what it is. Yeah. She finds her way there. She goes there. She, like, gets attacked by a creature and then, like, she doesn't die. She's saved. And she sort of goes through the cave and that's where she sort of changes from, like, the lady into this blue, creepy witch person.
Yeah.
Like, so she, like, they don't show us exactly. They just show us, like, see her go through it and, like, what's happening to her. So we don't see what she saw or what happened to her in the cave. And then she also, like, so basically she believes that Yoda, like, she never sees him. But she believes that he's, like, forced, saved her from the creature and got the creature to stop attacking her. And, like, was there guiding her and saved her. So she doesn't turn him. And she's just like, oh, he's dead. He died in space or whatever. Are you sure? I am totally sure. Okay, well, let's just start working on the tech then. Okay, cool.
And it changes her as, you know, instead of focusing on the dark side, she wants to focus on the light now.
Yeah, yeah. And she also just, like, is able to... Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I hope that comes up again. Like, whatever she saw.
Yeah, it would be neat if it did.
Very, very interesting. Issue 4, my favorite motorcycle gang, the Knights of Ren, on their, what is their ship called? The Blizzard, Buzzard,
Night Buzzard something.
Night Buzzard. It's like a real throwback to the days when a Star Wars ships would be like, okay, we need a cool word and a bird.
Yeah.
Let's see. So they basically break into Vader's castle to steal his car keys.
Pretty much.
That's
his singing car keys.
Yeah. So, like, they have to, that's their job. They have to go steal something from, like, Vader. And they're like, what? Vader's castle on Mustafar? Like, how can you even, like, expect us to blah, blah, blah? And, like, they're all mouthy about it, but they end up doing it anyway. And they lose a couple of, you know, like, there's, like, 10 of them. And, like, three of them I've never seen. So I'm like, well.
Grenade Face is still here, but, like, there's a Twi'lek and one with these long braids and,
and like a little one.
Yeah.
So
little, like, Ren.
Yeah, yeah. Little Ren. And they're going through, they like sneak through underground and you see the whole like shrine with the Momin mask and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, that like if you read the Vader comic, the other Charles Soule Vader comics, you would be like, oh yeah. You know who remembers that too? Charles Soule.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's really, really cool. And as they're like going through, they run into Vanay, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh no, we're like busted. What do we do? And they like all start shooting at him. Mm-hmm. And then he's just like, he's shielded, I guess. And then he's like, ha ha ha, I am protected like all of my master's possessions. Now you guys are in danger. And then like Vader comes out and starts attacking them. And like, they barely get away. You know, they basically jump out the window, which is like one of my favorite panels of Star Wars comics in general, which is Ren falling out of the window backwards saying, later, Vader.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great, I mean, yeah. he does the, you know, the High Republic Point Break where he saves himself with the Force.
Yeah. And like they're stealing the thing. And like, I think Vader starts to try to like grab the keys back or whatever with the Force. And is, like, stronger than all of them put together.
Right.
And they're like, oh, no, what do we do? And they just start, like, shooting at him. And then they're like, all right, cool, got it, let's go, bye! And jump out the window.
So in this issue, there is a little bit of, you know, Ren and Vader do have a little bit of a lightsaber fight.
Yes.
And Vader's like, you know, you're not worthy of that red blade.
Yeah.
Ren is like, you know, we've been around for a while. So like, part of me is, and he, you know, he kind of mentions that, like, they're with the rabble of the dark side. And I'm wondering, you know, how far back the Knights of Ren go, and if we would see them be part of the, what is it, the Dank Grax in the High Republic phase
oh.
too? Like, if they would have, you know, have someone on that.
Yeah, that would be very far. I just, I don't, like, I feel, I mean, like, logically for me, it makes sense that they sort of pop up after the fall of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Even though they're trying to keep a low profile, I think having a much more organized Jedi outposts and all that around the galaxy, that sort of thing would come, that would be discovered a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas, like, the Imperials do have people searching for Jedi, but there's only about 13 to 15 of them.
Right.
And, like, you know, there's a whole bunch of purge troopers, and Imperials are really bad at filing reports sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's what makes sense to me. And, like, I guess we just haven't seen much before this, like, since everything, like, this is the earliest we've seen, and I was already like, well, this is 25 years before they're like, hey, what's up, kid? Oh, no, I guess mm-hmm. it's not, like, that far, but, you know, like,
yeah.
These same guys are alive. And, like, hanging out with Ben in 25 years.
Right.
Or 35 years, maybe. 30 years at least.
30, yeah.
It's got to be 30 years at least, yeah.
30 years in Force Awakens, but then Rise of Kylo Ren took place, what, 10 years before that?
Yeah, but they're still fighting him in Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
So they're still uppity. You know? I mean, to be fair, though, you know, Kirak Infila is, like, old buff guy.
Right.
You know, goals. So, like, it's not completely improbable.
No.
Everybody in Star Wars seems to live forever, Dexter Jetster.
Yeah. We don't know what species Grenade Face is.
That's true. It's just Knights of, like, Mr. Ren with his, like, burned self got, like, plus 10 to years somehow.
Yeah.
And he still works out.
I think after the Kira trilogy is done, I think Sewell has to do something with the Knights of Ren.
I would definitely like to learn more about the origins, because I think it would be a little more fascinating if they were around during the Jedi, because then how did they stay off all the Jedi? Like, you know, like it just makes sense that they flourish in a time where Jedi are like myth.
Mm-hmm.
Or did they start at a time where they're like, those Jedi were assholes?
Yeah.
Complete jerks.
It would explain why they're like biker gang pirates.
Yeah. Like that,
if they're, you know, sticking to the Outer Rim and everything.
Yeah. Like, if they did exist during Jedi times, that's the only way that I can see them existing. It's like, hey, yeah, we're Jedi or whatever.
Right.
Where's your robes? It's in the washer.
Shirtless.
Yeah. See, I'm washing. It's laundry day. No clean clothes. Okay. Enough 80s movies references. Knights. Okay, what, issue 5? Okay, so now she's like, okay, like, this is what we're gonna do. The plan is, like, all coming together. She's like, I need to talk to you, Cadelia. No, we never know what she says. Mm-hmm. And then she sends the knights and the archivist to go to this, I forgot the name of the planet, but they basically go to this planet because she's like, you guys have to do the thing. And they take those screaming keys to this planet, and it looks like there are all these, like, frozen giant, like, it's the landscape is frozen giants, frozen in horror faces. That is the landscape, that are bigger than you.
Yes.
And when they use it or whatever and activate it, it awakens them all. So then they're running to get whatever they're trying to steal while these things are, like, come alive and are hunting them or whatever, or eating them, or, and they get the thing, and it's like an hourglass,
some type of hourglass. Yeah,
I forgot what it's called. It's called, they name it later in Hidden Empire.
Mm-hmm.
But they steal this thing, and then they're like, great, like, now we know what we're gonna do. And that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, there's,
oh no, she activates everybody, right?
Yeah, because so there's also, like, a subplot with Vader and Palpatine, and Palpatine's realizing, not so much that Kira is out there, but Kira is directly going for him. And they bring in some mysterious shadowed ISB director type.
Yes, They say his name. I forgot what the name is. But yes.
Yeah, but he's in shadow.
Yes.
So you don't see who he is. And then, you know, they go back and forth between the storylines throughout the book. And near the end, you know, Palpatine decides, okay, we're going to target Crimson Dawn. So then that sends out the alert that they're being targeted. And Kira's like, well, disperse the fleet and cause as much chaos as you can.
Yeah. And she, like, activates all of her, like, sleeper spies everywhere, you know. Right. And you can, like, as the panels go on, it's like you can see that, like, stormtroopers and, like, TIE fighters and, like, everybody. So she's, like, you know, she has people everywhere. And then this is her famous, like, cool line.
The last panel?
Yeah.
The last two panels? Yeah.
She's like, this is my hidden empire. Choke on it. Which is, like, also the first lines of Hidden Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So presumably she's like, here's where she's like starting to do her thing. And now we wait for Hidden Empire.
Yeah.
But like while all this is happening, so like the Crimson Rain series was not as, you know, like War of the Bounty Hunters was like, oh, holy crap. And like, there's like a thing that's happening that I understood. This was a little more like of her setting up more pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this took me to, like, by the time I get to the end of it, I'm like, well, now I have to wait for Crimson Rain or Hidden Empire.
Yeah.
To see, like, what is happening. Because it's almost like, go for it.
I was going to say, the other series, they kind of related to it, but at the same time, it wasn't like War of the Bounty Hunters, where every issue took place at the event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's like a... While those issues were coming out, the other issues were like involved with it, and in that way, it was way less repetitious.
Yeah,
I think I enjoyed this crossover more, even though it has less Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
But for that fact, is that like you can see the effects of her actions everywhere. You know, Aphra's dealing with it, and Leia, and you know, Valance, and bounty hunters, and Darth Vader. But it's, like, not directly the same thing. Like, Vader's issue is not Vader waking up in his castle and being like, somebody's trying to steal my keys.
No.
So that, like, doesn't happen. Like, Vader's issues are a whole other crap happening. So, yeah, let's get into a little bit of that. The Star Wars issues, there's a lot. So this is all, like, fresh off of War of the Bounty Hunters. Luke has just kind of faced Vader and been like, I can't do it. I can't do anything. And is now into like full, I need to learn more Jedi stuff mode, but I can't go back to Yoda because I was a bad kid. Because I was a bad student right now. So let me just, he's like searching for answers and he finds like a holocron. And he like, it's like a Yoda holocron. And he's like, well, he already taught me this 2 weeks ago. but he's like trying to like, and he ends up finding a list of planets. Oh no, R2 has the list, but he also has a list like from the holocron as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he ends up going to like the planet that Vader fought Kirak and Vila.
Mm-hmm.
And that little kid is like, oh, like, are you a Jedi? There was a Jedi that lived here. Oh no. Well, the little kid is like buff now and grown.
Yeah.
So like, it was a Jedi that lived here now. Once. Yeah. And he like, it's like, yeah, well, you know, like, that's what happened. That's what I remember, you know. And then he also goes to Lothal. Shout out to Lothal. And he's like, I think somebody closed it. Yep. Yeah. I remember that. And then he goes to the planet. I forgot the name of the stupid planet. But it's like a planet that is like a living sea. And he like falls into it. And the planet stores memories of everybody that's been to the planet.
Yeah.
So this is how we get Luke to hang out with Elzar Man.
Because it's trying to eat them.
Yeah.
But it was really well done.
Yeah. No, and like the scene is amazing. And he was like, hey, say, that's a cool lightsaber right there. You got it right there. And he like pulls it over and he's like, yeah, it's right on. Like, and some of the stuff was like so dope. I really like the part where Elzar is talking about, you know, because he's like, well, so you're trying to be like a Jedi. You're trying to be a good Jedi. Yeah, well, you know, everybody kind of does it their own way, like me especially, you know. And he's like, well, like, sometimes it depends on what the, like, what do you know about that? And he's like, well, I don't really, and he's like, well, that doesn't sound good then. You know, if you don't really know what the Jedi are, then that doesn't really sound that good for the Jedi. He's right. Like, you know, because Jedi kind of, he's like, he says something like, you know, Jedi can be what, whatever we need, whatever the galaxy needs at that time. Sometimes we're warriors. Sometimes we're explorers. Sometimes we search for knowledge. Sometimes we're teachers. Sometimes we're guardians and peacekeepers. And sometimes, like, there's nothing left of all, and we're just like a little spark of flame in the dark, you know. And it's just, it's really, really well done, well drawn. Sewell's really good at this thing.
Yeah, and that came out right as Phase One was ending, I think.
Yeah.
So if you were reading everything and trying to, you know, keep up, the timing was excellent.
Yeah, for sure. And so he basically, like, and then he's kind of like, but he's also like, well, but I'm not really me, you know? So he's like, so what happened to you? And he's like, well, I don't know. All I know everything up to the point where I got to this planet. And I don't know.
Right.
You know? And then basically, yeah, the planet's trying to eat him. So Luke kind of wakes up and escapes. But as he escapes, he's like swimming out past all these bodies, and he gets one of the books, like one of the sacred texts.
Yeah.
So like now he has a holocron and a book to start reading. So he does that. What else we got? Oh, meanwhile, Shara Bay landed aboard Tarkin's Will and has been like surviving on the like decommissioned part of the ship, because Tarkin's Will was a Star Destroyer that was like at the Death Star, and in the explosion it was like slightly damaged, but they don't fix it to show that like they are the like rage left over from Tarkin, and you know, like all this cool stuff that Commander Zara is super like Tarkin fanboy.
And she really wants to kill Leia.
Yeah, all about killing Leia. And she was very disappointed that she like missed last time. So Shara Bay is surviving on board, in like, they also left the bodies in that part of the ship where the ship got decommissioned. They left the bodies. So she took like some stormtrooper armor, and she like sneaks around and grabs rations or whatever she's got to do, and then sneaks back to her hidey hole. And eventually they kind of figure out that there's a stowaway on board, and she's also getting messages out.
Yeah, she's able to communicate.
So
I don't remember how exactly.
I forget exactly, but yeah, she's like communicating as covertly as she can. And then, you know, eventually, like, and it kind of comes to light. They're like, we're picking up transmissions. And she's like, well, there's only one place they could be. So it's like clear her time is running out. But Kes is able to get one of the messages, and they're like, well, we don't know what to do. And Shara's saying, like, don't do this, like, don't, you know, just keep fighting, blah, 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 blah. We have to, like, find the whole, because they're still looking for the rest of the fleets. After the Battle of Hoth, where, like, some of the codes were compromised and all that. And so Kes and, like, Starlight Squadron and the Pathfinders are like, nah, man, we're with you. And so they put together, like, a little one squadron, one U-Wing full of people, rescue team. And they go and Rogue One her out of there. But at the same time, she finds one of the rebel fleets, or one of the rebel, what do they call them? You know, one of the parts of the rebel fleets, and has like this really dastardly plan of attacking them. And she like dives with the Star Destroyer to the base, and then the capital ships chase her into the atmosphere. And then she uses the powerful tractor beams to like pull them in with the gravity well of the planet, and then like, you know, pulls up on the Star Destroyer so that the rebel ships are crashing into the planet and can't pull up because they're not built for that. And it's like, then the rebels on, and she's like, either way, they will die. Like, will the rebels shoot their own ships coming to get them, or sit, you know, they're, cause there's no way they can save everybody. Either the ships crash and kill the people on the ground, or they shoot the people in the sky and kill them. So ha 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 ha, either way we win. Meanwhile, Kes and everybody are like blowing up her ship from the inside. So like the rebels do, like those ships do crash, and they do like destroy a lot of the rebel fleet. But also her Star Destroyer crashes and they save Shara and escape and everything, and it's all happy until they get a little message from her being like, Leia, come out and play, yay. Yeah.
And she still, and Leia end up in the caves.
Yeah. And they still, oh, this is also where we skipped over where Leia and Holdo sets up a meeting between Leia and Kira.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So this is like the second meeting, and Holdo sets it up.
And they really kind of talk about Han there.
Yeah. This is the one where they, is this the one where she tells the story?
I think it is.
Okay. Of like,
because I think it feels like they have more time to do that here.
Yeah. So, but like the ulterior motive of the thing is like, Kira, you know, Kira's like, well, like, maybe we can help each other or something. And Leia's like, why would I help you? You know, you're a crime syndicate person. And she's kind of like, well, our aims are the same at the moment, so it would do you good. And she's like, and if not, then Holdo will let me know and we will kill you all or whatever. So they like agree to sort of help each other. Which I think is like she's helping supply the rebellion and help the rebellion attack the Empire, which helps her.
Yeah.
So that's like, it's kind of like a win-win.
And I don't know if it's technically part of this block of issues, but later on she has people aboard the second Death Star.
Yes.
Who she orders to defect.
Yeah. That's like in the next, like towards the Hidden Empire stuff.
Right.
But there were people asking me for a minute. They were like, so, like, she has, like, nephews and stuff. And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, like, there's this issue's, like, going for a bunch of money because it's, like, Kira's niece or something. And I was like, what are you talking about? And at one point in the story, they're like, well, we got a message from Aunt Kira. And I was like, oh, I don't think that's really what that... I think that's how parents talk in front of little kids.
Right.
Which I still think I am right, but we'll see.
I think you're right, yeah.
That's how I feel. Feels right. Yeah, young Holdo, awesome to see. And she, in the next block of comics, she starts showing up a bit more. Mm-hmm. So we're probably going to follow this up soon when Hidden Empire is wrapped up. Because that'll be nice. Okay. Darth Vader. So, since, like, this run of issues, Darth Vader has been, like, consistently bananas. We went to Exegol, we got Ochi of Bestoon in the mix, like, we're killing Slymore's homies just to prove points. So, like, there's a lot happening in the Vader comics, and so right now, Vader has rebuilt Valance, who was, like, blown up by Boba in War of the Bounty Hunters. And presumed dead by his friends. So, like, that's what's happening over in those series. But over here, he's, like, rebuilt to serve the Empire. And he's like, no, I won't serve the Empire. How could you? And they're like, easy. We will destroy the people you love. No. Because they're like, we even hooked up to your brain. And it, like, we got a little A to D converter for your brain. And it, like, it shows us your memories. And we know where the rebels are. And, like, the ones that you like and stuff. You know, so he's like, no, and living a horrible, tragic life, helping the Empire. And then basically, like, this is basically where, you know, Palpatine is like, okay, we got to take down Crimson Dawn. Vader, your new job is to take down Crimson Dawn. And Vader's like, okay. So he sends Ochi to take down Crimson Dawn. And that's where they're sort of like investigating their people because they know there are spies everywhere, and they get like a list. They end up finding a list, and Ochi and Slymore are both Crimson Dawn. And so they get the list and they're like, okay, well, like only half of these people are like for sure Crimson Dawn. And then, so they start like taking out some of the targets, and like they're on General Remote's Star Destroyer or something. And they're taking out, like, no, those people were Crimson Dawn. Like, no, they weren't. They were good soldiers. Well, my report says they're Crimson Dawn, so they're Crimson Dawn. And then Slymore's like, the report's not even right. Like, you know, why didn't you, like, do anything. And he was like, well, I wasn't on it. What the hell? Like, I was glad. You know, what was I going to do? Argue with it? You know, well, they're like, well, we need to figure out, you know, figure out what ties those names. And then we'll be able to figure out who made that list and why. And that will, like, reveal the true, like, Crimson Dawn people who are not us.
Yeah.
And so, like, they start trying to investigate, like, through back channels and stuff. Meanwhile, Vader has Valance putting together these team of people to kill Crimson Dawn people. So there's, like, a planet where Crimson Dawn has taken over and, like, you know, attacked the people. Probably a lot like Savarine. And they have, like, three little people who sort of step up and fight Crimson Dawn. And they kill a bunch of them. And Ochi's like, cool, cool, cool. You guys can join us. And then, like, they also hire these three assassins. And, like, everybody is a comic character. There's, like, one buff Trandoshan, you know, one girl sniper, a big spherical robot.
Big who, roly droid.
Yeah, who has guns. And those are, like, the hero guys. And then the assassins is, like, a bug with four arms and swords. A, like, sniper guy who looks very whatever Embo is.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the other guy? Oh, there's like a Weequay.
Mm-hmm.
And a Weequay. So it's like three assassins and three, and like through as they're going out and like taking out Crimson Dawn people, they're also getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up, you know, meanwhile Ochi and Sly Moore are still trying to figure out this thing, and they figure out like on Remote's ship they all went to this one mission on what is this place? Polis Massa. You know, and they end up like tracking all of this to like Naboo and finding this place, and it ends up being Sabe's. And then Sabe's like beating them both up and torturing them and being like, no, I am Crimson Dawn and I'm better than you fools. Like sometimes we have to do house cleaning, you know. And they're like, but you actually sacrificed Crimson Dawn people. Some of those people were Crimson Dawn. And she's like, yeah, they were the whack ones. And then I'm like, wait, Sabe's Crimson Dawn now?
Yeah.
But then she's like, because I'm going to use Crimson Dawn to kill Vader. And you're like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense to me at the moment.
It was a little bit confusing to me, yeah.
It once, like, she was like, well, this is a great tool. And I was like, okay, well, that makes sense. Because now she knows, like, yeah. The Amidalans didn't do so well. You need something bigger.
Right. Right.
So, she also goes back and, like, she, like, back on Polis Massa, she, like, saved that droid, like, Zed or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, Vader's droid that was with Vader and, like, reprogrammed him. So, like, the droid knew about Vader's intentions, if not necessarily everything. So the Vader was like, we're very interested in the son of Padme Amidala. And then she's like, what? He had a son? And so, like, she's able to, like, put all that kind of together and be like, he's Anakin Skywalker. But... meanwhile, Vader follows Ochi to Sabe's place, and is like, you have joined Crimson Dawn. And he's like, no, 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 I didn't. Excellent work, Ochi. You have led me to their leader. And Ochi's like, of course I did. I'm the best. And then it's Sabe. And then he kind of like takes them back to Naboo where he killed the giant, the sea killer. And like, he's like, remember when you tried to kill me, like with this one monster, and I killed this one monster that rules the entire sea. And now like these, like they're like monsters, but they're like creatures that are presumably eating the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like now all these things, but they're like on the body, and these creatures that are eating the body are like huge. So like, you know, Sabe and Ochi are like fighting off these monsters that are bigger than them. And it's like, and what happens when you kill all the monsters that spring up after you kill the big thing? Clearly making a wonderful Imperial metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And then like other monsters come out that are inside, like the creature eating it from the inside. And then he's like, this is what you do. You make them kill each other. And then you're like, oh. And then like he also attacks like a Crimson Dawn place with Imperials and like lets them all kill each other. And then Sabe is like, I know you're Anakin. And that's the gist of that one.
Does Vader run into an old friend during that arc, or does that happen after?
That's
this?
The next step.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, what after this? Like Vader and Sabe sort of join up a little bit more.
Yeah.
But like this is kind of the first step in that. Her showing up again with Crimson Dawn, and then him being like, "I'm gonna use Crimson Dawn," and then you're like, "What for what?" And it's like, because this is also where he's coming up with his, like, there's a little more Vader dialogue of him being like, you know, the galaxy only respects power, so it's like my turn to power. Mm-hmm. You know, because this is after Empire Strikes Back and all that. Yes. Okay. Dr. Aphra, Ascendant Technology. So, Aphra, after getting her arm blown off by the Thought Dowser in War of the Bounty Hunters, not blown off, but her whole, like, electro tattoos fried.
Mm-hmm.
They go to Domina Tag to be like, hey, maybe you can fix my tattoos. And they like, improve it. Like, so they're like, oh, your stuff is so outdated. We can, like, make it even better because we're a technology company. And then they send her out because they know about the thought. She tells her about the Thought Dowser. And they're like, great, go steal it and bring it back to me. So, like, they're working for Domina Tag, Aphra and Sana. And as they're trying to go steal it, it's like a different one. And then they meet up with another of Aphra's old friend enemies, which is everybody Aphra has ever met, whose name is Kofan Ferris. And Kofan Ferris, they are all into like dark side and like the ascendant that they study were these people who like couldn't be Jedi or Sith, but they like wanted to be, so they created these things so that they could be like the Sith. So like all these gloves that can like with magnets that pull stuff, and the Thought Dowser like somehow like draws on your life force to, you know, torture people's minds and stuff like that. So like all of this kind of stuff. So like, and Kofan Ferris is decked out in all this stuff, like has like this crazy whip and is able to like throw boxes at Aphra from great distances. But all the boxes have like magnets. But still, right. It's pretty rad. And it's Aphra, so all of the dialogue is great and hilarious. Every panel is wonderful. And so there's also like a flashback to when they were at school together. And there's like a whole lot of, you know, like basically, like Aphra is getting all of them in trouble most of the time. And so there's like a little bit of like that, why they have a grudge against Aphra. Well, you said you were going to do, 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 and you just got me in trouble and you got me expelled. And now I'm just like looking for the stuff over here.
Right. And I think Aphra helps them at first. And then, so it's kind of more of even more of a betrayal.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Like a very Aphra betrayal.
Yeah.
As usual.
Yeah. Well, that's the only way to, if you're going to betray someone.
Yeah.
You might as well.
Sure. So they're trying to find the Thought Dowser. They know that Kofan has it or knows where it is. I think they like fake a buyer to like get them. Oh no, I think that's how they first track down Kofan. Like they fake a thing for sale and Kofan comes to buy it. And then they're like, it's you. Oh no. So basically they track it all down to Kofan is looking for something called the Spark Eternal, which is supposed to be the ultimate in ascended technology that lets you live forever or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this like was things that they researched along with one of their Savas, which is like the Star Wars teacher or professor.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was interesting, but King Tom, as somebody who was in space, the people who teach you lightsaber training on board the Halcyon, mm-hmm. they're called Sajas. So maybe like Saja is like, I don't know, like sensei or, you know what I mean? Something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas like Sava is like intellectual teacher.
Academics.
Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting. And I made it a point to mention it. So it ends up that the entire university is built on board this ascendant or above this ascendant secret layer. That is where this thing has been housed this entire time. And the teacher is down there being like, I've been waiting for you. Like, together we can unlock the secrets with Kofan. And then, like, Aphra and Sana show up and start, like, trying to kill her to get the Thought Dowser. And then, like, they're supposed to, like, there's a really cool, like, freaky haunted nursery rhyme that there's attached, you know. 7 lead the path, and 6 to turn the things, and 3 sacrificed for the 2 that lead to the 1 or something. Like, it's way better. Read the comic, trust me. But, like, it's clear that you need, like, 3 sacrifices. So they're, like, fighting, and as they're fighting, there's, like, panels where you can see it that are, like, punching each other, and they're bleeding into the little vials that they're supposed to bleed into. And you're like, oh, no, what's going to happen? And then the thing starts happening, and Aphra goes to, like, get it. It's, like, a glowing light. She's like, oh, my God, it's, like, the Spark Eternal. Like, finally, it's mine, ah, ha, ha, ha. And then it, like, shoots her in the middle of the chest and kills her and, like, goes all the way through her. And you're like, wait, it just blew a hole through Aphra. And then she, like, falls dead on the thing, podium, whatever, center, altar. Thanks. There we go. Altar.
The altar. Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for. And then, like, the spark, like, lights up around her and, like, goes inside her, and then she gets up again and she's like, I am the Spark Eternal. Ah, and you're like, what is happening? And now Aphra is bananas. Aphra is always fun.
Yes. It's a fun book.
And
the people are
chaos.
Written so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of chaos too.
Yeah. And at one point, I think Domina is like, well, you know, she's not answering my messages or something. So she either found the thing, or she's dead, or she betrayed me. So, Bausch, go find her. So I'm looking forward to seeing more Bausch and Bausch crew, because I really like the whole Yubi's crew. Since that War of the Bounty Hunters one shot. Then I'm pretty sure they're going to be popping up in future stuff. All right, the Bounty Hunter stuff. 1, Bossk is growing his legs back, which is great times. They think Valance is dead. So they're like all kind of like mourning Valance and all this stuff. And then like also Losha, who's Tonga's wife or girlfriend or whatever, is like adjusting to this new life as a bounty hunter. You know, and Tonga's like, I never wanted this for you. And Losha is like, this is actually kind of fun. Like, how could I go back to farming? And now that Valance is dead, they have no idea how they're going to find the heir. Because, like, they were sort of tasked with finding the heir and protecting them so they could stop all the fighting on Corellia. Because if the heir is found, then the Unbroken Clan and the Mourner's Wail can unite and they won't have to be at war constantly. Much like a High Republic book I read. But they don't know where to start. So Zuckuss is like, I have an idea. My best friend is like so good at hacking. And they're like, your best friend that tried to kill you in War of the Bounty Hunters? The issue Vorlom and Zuckuss, that best friend? And he's like, yes, yes, small setback. But like, I'm confident I know where to find him. And if we can like subdue him, I can like get him to help us. And so they go and they find Vorlom still in crazy murder spider mode. And they reclaim his head. And he's like, don't worry, I will fix your body soon. But I am rebuilding you. And he's like, hey, what's going on? Why am I just ahead? And he's like, we'll talk about that later. But I'm glad you're back. Mm-hmm. You know, meanwhile, like, they basically set Vorlom to, like, search everything and hack into everything for any mention of this person. And they're able to find that they were, like, in with the rebels for a second. But then they also find out that, like, is Crimson Dawn searching for them as well? I think. And then General Vukora goes back and the, like, the leader of the Unbroken Clan is like, well, like, I am the last of the line and blah, 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 blah. Like, so the thing ends with me and I am going to die soon. And then Vukora is like, well, no, like, we can still, like, you know, we can still bring this. We have to take it. Like, I've given everything to, like, and gets super pissed. Basically, V'Korra kills the leader and becomes the new leader of the Unbroken Clan. And now, like, the only thing standing in V'Korra's way is if the heir is found, like, they won't be the leader anymore. So, like, it becomes a hunt. Everybody's looking for the heir. Bossk continues to grow his legs back. Bossk is hanging out with his feet in Bacta at one point, which is super fun. Bossk and Tasu has a lot of great dialogue because Tasu just likes killing everybody and is ultra mega violent. And Bossk is like, I like this guy. The next issues are those stuff that like that I really like with the V'Korra and the Losha stuff. But yeah,
I'm a little bit behind on Bounty Hunters. I got to get caught up on that. But yeah, it sounds really good.
That's like most of the gist of it. And like somewhere like Dengar and Deathstick sort of also are starting to search for them because they're looking for the heir as well. You know, well, I guess not anymore. Like, I think this is taking place while that they were like trying to find Cadelia. So like this was running kind of concurrently with that. But yeah, like the stuff with V'Korra taking over is like the big like, uh-oh, here we go. And then also that they get Forlorn back at the end of this. So it's like reclaiming Forlorn, which is the greatest stuff. So like all in all, the Crimson Empire stuff, I'm really digging. I like the, I still am not sure where and how far we're going to go. I really like Kira's motivations and I like the idea that Kira knows like what's happening in the galaxy because she was like homies with Maul.
Right.
You know. So like that whole idea of like a crime syndicate that's built to take down the Sith is kind of rad. So I just hope she has a good plan.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of ignore what we know happens in the movies.
Fair. Fair.
Yeah.
Oh, and another thing is like the Crimson Reign series, it's almost like bookended by the Archivist.
Well, so the
it's told as like a story. So it's like this is her Crimson Reign story or but so, the Archivist is telling the story.
So I have a bit of a conspiracy theory that involves that.
Okay.
And if you don't mind me bringing it up now.
I do not.
Okay, thank you. I think that at some point major parts of the story might have changed or shifted. And it's because there are some things like you mentioned, the first four issues all start from the point of view of people watching a holo recording of the Archivist.
Yeah.
And she's talking about Kira. The fifth issue doesn't have that. And also the other thing is the fifth issue just suddenly out of nowhere mentions this mystery. And I say mystery even though we know his name. But we don't see his face, this ISB person. And usually Sewell is a bit more coordinated than that. And then the other reason, and this is just more, you know, my wishful thinking, but in some of the earliest promo art for this series, they had TIE Defenders.
Oh, those show up in the Vader comics, for sure.
Yeah.
They do.
But I thought that that meant they were going to be more of a plot point. And again, this is just me reading into something that I love seeing. So I just think there are some either inconsistencies or unanswered things that makes me think there's something that was planned that we didn't get.
There was another, if I remember correctly, like Iden Versio and Inferno Squad were on a few of the covers too. And they end up popping up very briefly, much later on, I think. Like in issues that were just released.
Like more recent than, closer to Hidden Empire.
Yeah. But yeah, I can totally see that like things moving around, especially with so many moving pieces.
And Hidden Empire does, not to spoil it, but it does start off with that holo recording again.
Yeah. And also, but like it adds more, like it's the holo recording and it's like two shadowed figures going like, Okay.
Right.
Then what?
Yeah, I don't think that those two were in the, you know, the previous versions of the Hollow Room.
Right, right. I think it was just like an unseen audience, you know, or right. presumably us, maybe. You know what I mean? But it was always like, it was always as if it was being viewed, but now yeah. there are like two shadowed viewers, you know? I'm still caught up on the comics and a lot more has happened. You know, I think the stuff that I'm really having fun with right now is the Bounty Hunter stuff. And I'm the stuff that I might be most interested in, I think still might be the character of Sabe. Like in particular. To see where that's going.
They've done some very interesting things with her as a character.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I just love comics are fun and there's always so much like goodness and like the bounty, like the, every, little series has their own writers and art. And I really like the Bounty Hunter's art. Like the, was it Paolo Villanelli or something?
I think so.
Yeah. Like it's consistently done like really amazing stuff. And I guess that's not fair because he gets to draw Bosque and like Valance punching people nonstop. That's pretty hard not to nail. Dr. Aphra, always an excellent time. I'm really loving this newer series. I think even more than the other series. Like ever since Alyssa Wong took over.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's been, I mean, Aphra was always like crazy and fun, but it just has like jumped up another level, I think.
Yeah.
So super, super happy with the Dr. Aphra series currently. Darth Vader is bananas, and I am just like Ochi and Sabe are why I'm reading that because like Ochi and Sabe, Ochi is just fun and like Ochi belongs in a Dr. Aphra series.
Yes. I think so.
The thing that makes Darth Vader even better is that it's not Aphra, it's Darth Vader and Ochi hanging out, which is ridiculous. And yeah, Sabe stuff. Star Wars, of course, is always like, it's nothing but mains. What do you think? It's never been really addressed again, but I hope we ever get some sort of, I don't know if I want to call it like a resolution, but it would be really nice to see Lobot getting helped out. And maybe like if they could like help out his implants or whatever to reclaim his humanity again.
That would be cool. Didn't they use him in either the Daniel Jose Older book or some of the Wendig snippets?
He popped in. Yeah, there were some aftermath. What are they? Interludes.
Mm-hmm. Interludes.
Yeah, and even some of the like from a certain point of view stories that they were like in. But like I don't know. It never felt. Like, it was enough to even, you know what I mean? Like, it never felt like like he would talk, but it wasn't like, it didn't feel like he had that personality.
I am human. I have feelings.
Yeah. Like, as much as it was, yeah.
And with Sewell still writing the main series and the Hidden Empire, it would be a great place for, either one would be a great place for him to do it, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And as much as he likes to, like, pick up those threads... Again, I that's like one that I would love to see picked up.
Right. If he can bring Verla back, he can give Lobot his humanity back.
Or Chonath Chan, the orphans. Yeah. I'm all for them. I totally forgot about them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. That's good stuff. Let's see what else we got. Yeah, that's about it. So Hidden Empire just started. I've picked up the first couple issues. It's really cool so far. Mm-hmm. And there's also a thing called Revelations. Which is it's picking up like a lot of pieces, but I think I'm going to save that for Hidden Empire talk.
I think I went through the first issue of Revelations. I think I'm going to need to sit down with the whole thing at once.
Yeah. It's almost like a, do you remember, was it last year or 2 years ago? It was when they relaunched the series and they had Empire Ascendant.
Yes.
And it had a little Aphra story and a little Vader story and a little Shara Bay story and a little, you know, it's kind of like that.
It tied them up.
Yeah.
Getting ready for phase two.
Yeah, it was basically like a prologue into what we were about to get.
Right.
You know, but this one, it was happening. I thought this was going to be that. I thought we were going to like end everything and get ready to go into Jedi.
Yeah.
But it did not feel like that at all. And it sort of is happening in the middle of this. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I don't even know if like Hidden Empire is going to lead us up to that point.
I don't know.
Like,
they ran with the old one for 4.5, 5 years.
Yeah.
And these series have been going on since 2020, so.
But, I mean, we're 2 years in already. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Like, it. I don't know how long this is going to roll, but it could happen fairly soon. Like, maybe we have, like, one more year of this.
Maybe. I'm just glad we're, you know, because when they reset the canon, I always wanted more stories set between Empire and Jedi, so.
Yeah. I wasn't upset, but I was all like, oh, man, here we go with, like, a million After A New Hope stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm happy now to see that like they really took that time and they did it. And then they're like, okay, now we're here. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to get to that point where we're going to go, okay, now we're here. And now we'll be in the like aftermath sort of era, New Republic stuff.
Yeah.
Cause I'm hoping that's what's going to happen when they relaunch some of these series. They're going to just keep moving forward through the timeline. Cause I think that would be fun. I think that would be relevant, and especially as things like The Mandalorian and Ahsoka and like all that stuff starts picking up, I think it'll be really cool. Like, you now have a little bit more of a firm idea of what fertile ground to dive into, you know, and tying, like, you know, I don't know, if it was me, I would be like tying aftermath stuff into all that and Alphabet Squadron. Yeah. Come on now. Yeah.
Bring some Carson Teva in.
You know, I was watching Andor being like, where's Chaznachatic? Good times, man.
Yeah.
We'll probably talk a Hidden Empire once that's all said and done.
I'm down.
But I knocked out a few podcasts and I've already started my phase two High Republic stuff.
Okay.
So very soon after this, we're going to start diving into that. It's going to be good times. Have you done the books, already?
I've done Convergence and the other book.
Path of Deceit.
Path of Deceit, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rad. How are you feeling about phase two so far?
I'm liking it. It's not as easy to grasp as phase one. Partially because, like, I think with phase one, we got a lot of art and background material.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's not as much.
Mm-hmm.
Which just, when I'm reading something and it's, you know, I don't know the characters, in my mind, sometimes they just tend to run together.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, oh, yeah, this guy's a Twi'lek. This is the Wookiee. She's got that little tiara thing. You know, phase one.
Yeah.
I was able to match up people with images.
Yeah.
Phase two, it's a little bit more difficult, and you know, my thing about going back to go forward was it didn't feel like there was enough mystery in phase one that I how did these things get this way? But with what we've gotten in phase two, the stories are compelling, and like what the path is and how it turns into what it turns into. Yeah, I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how that happens. It seems like some big things are happening, and I kind of wonder, okay, how are we going to forget about them in 150 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some things that I'm wondering how far we're going to go with, for
right.
sure.
Exactly. So, but at the same time, I don't want to rush this phase, but I am looking forward to phase three.
Okay. That's fair. So far, like just even, especially on those books you mentioned, the characters are really well done.
Particularly
the main characters, like in Convergence, there's like four main characters and they are all really good. And in Path of Deceit, like the main characters that you meet, they do a really good job of you getting to know them and fleshing them out and stuff like that. Like, and you know, trying to see, you know, like where things are going to lead is super, super interesting for those things. So yeah, If you are into that, listen to some future episodes because I got them coming. Trust. All right. Thank you, King Tom.
Thanks, Sal.
It's always a good time. You know, feel free to go back to Weezer Hour or whatever's happening over there.
Oh, that's always happening.
Yeah. Weezer Evening. I am going to start putting these things together and boom, we got a podcast. One more time, tell people where they can find you on the interwebs.
Tom Chansky on social media and the Sith List every week. And then some Patreon shows.
And you can check us out at theroguerebels.com. Go follow us on our socials at The Rogue Rebels, except on Twitter where we are Rogue Rebels fan. Ah, there's a puppy. Surprise puppy. Yeah. And we will catch you in the High Republic, I'm pretty sure. All right. Peace. Bye. 5-star reviews. All right. Okay.